It is a joy to be with you today and for this occasion. Praise the Lord for the work of the Lord in Brooks's life and in Clara's life and in the life of this congregation and in the Roglands and in the elders here. It's a joy to have been with you at different times and for a particular joy to be here today. The scripture for this afternoon is Matthew 11, the last three verses of Matthew 11. I'll be using the New American Standard Bible, which is not very different at all from the ESV at this point. If you have the Pew Bible there, this is not the exact, as you count chapters or verses, not the exact middle of the book of Matthew, but I believe it's the break point. I think this is the end of Matthew A, and the beginning, the next verse will be the beginning of Matthew B, ending up with the Great Commission at the very end. So I'd like to read verses 28 through 30. I'd like to ask you to stand as I read the word of the Lord. This is His word, holy, inspired, inerrant, infallible, the word of God. Hear God's word. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let us pray. Father, we pray that as you, through the power of the Holy Spirit, inspired these words to be written through Matthew, by Matthew, and as they have been protected down through the ages, that we may read them today, we pray that the same Holy Spirit would cast a light on them in our hearts, that they would be illumined by the power of the Spirit, and that we would be changed, and that you would use this bearing witness with these words in our hearts to convince us that they are the very word of God and that they would lead us to worship and serve Jesus Christ, your Son, more fully. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. First, I'd like for us to go through and look at some of the words in the passage and make some observations about those words. And then the sentences or the clauses in there, and make a few observations about that, and then get to the 3 points. So let's talk about Presbyterianism. This is very Presbyterian to have 3 points. Not really a poem, but 3 points. So let's look at the passage. You have commands there. You can see that. Come to me. And particularly what I'd like for us to do is concentrate on the relationship of the one who is speaking, who is Jesus, and us. And specifically the way the words come across in the original that we can't really see very easily in the English, because, for instance, come, if you look at come, literally in upcountry, or as one of my friends calls it, the new acquisition, the York County area of South Carolina, we speak the y'all language. In France, there were two main languages, Languedoc, which is the southern France, and Languedoil, which was was northern France, and Oc meant yes for those in southern France, and Wheel meant yes, and you know who won. The wee guys won. Well, y'all got left out somewhere along the way, but I still speak y'all. So this is a y'all approach to this passage. Literally, it says, y'all come to me. It's talking, it's not just talking to Brooks, it's not just talking to Max, it's not really just talking to you as an individual, it is talking to us. It's a plural. So think about this relationship. One Savior and a group of people, the group that heard then, but all of us who are hearing today. This meeting was not beyond the scope of what Jesus understood the use of these words to be when he spoke them originally, or when the Holy Spirit had them written down. Y'all come to me. Then he describes us, all of us, all you who labor, who work, who labor and are heavy laden, who are weary with your work and heavy laden. And I, as a matter of fact, literally the I is in a pronoun and then the I is in the verb. So it's like saying, I will give y'all rest. So, y'all come to me. Y'all come to me. Those of you who are weary, who's not weary? Those of you who are heavy laden, living in a world of sin, affected by sin, you yourself, all parts of you affected by sin, it's hard to live in this world. You're weary. You're working hard. You're heavy laden. Y'all come to me, and I will give y'all rest. Giving rest is all one word. The next word, take, you can guess it. Y'all take my yoke. It's a group of people, including us, and one who has the yoke. Y'all take my yoke upon y'all. Plural. And y'all learn. Where are you going to learn? You're going to learn from me. See how this relationship is? This is a very strong relationship in these verses. There was a philosopher, I guess you'd say. I wouldn't say he's a theologian, who wrote a book about I and thou a long time ago. But this is Jesus speaking to us, speaking to his sheep. Y'all learn from me. For I am meek, or I am gentle. I am humble in heart. And it has the I there, the A-me, the I. And y'all will find, and that this word y'all will find is the Eureka word. You know, I found it. I got it. Been looking all over the world. Been looking in all the wrong places. But there's one place where the answers are. Y'all, you want rest? It's not going to be in bars. It's not going to be in pride. It's not going to be in good works. It's not going to be good do-gooders. It's not going to be in other religions. It's not going to be anywhere in the world, but one place. Y'all, and that y'all is as broad as it can get. Y'all who live in the world. Y'all who hear my words. Y'all come to this one place, and when you get here, you're going to find it, and you're going to say, Eureka! I have found peace. You will find peace for y'all's, again, it's plural, for y'all's souls. Oh, what people wouldn't give for that. And Jesus is saying, here I am, come to me. For my yoke is easy. And my burden is light. Speaking of himself. So it's an I-y'all relationship. Just looking at these words. The focus is on Jesus, right? Wide open, inclusive arms. Inclusive. Anybody can come. But the invitation is not to go anywhere. The invitation is for all to come to the one source of peace, the one source of joy, the one source of rest, the one source of the yoke. So looking at the words, he promises his given rest. It's a gift. His given rest twice. You notice that it says it in 28. I will give you rest. And then in verse 29, a quote from the Old Testament, you will find rest for your souls. Not only rest, but this is very interesting. This isn't laziness. This isn't worthlessness. This isn't leaving the world and just becoming a hermit. He has work for us to do. So balancing out the gift of rest twice is a gift of a yoke twice. A yoke, something that's designed to put on your shoulders, something that's designed for pulling, for working, for doing labor. So you're called to focus on Jesus. All of us are called to focus on Jesus. We are called to call others to focus on Jesus. You get to carry on the work of John the Baptist, in a sense, calling others, pointing. There's the Lamb of the world. There's the Lamb of God, the one who's going to take away the sins of the world. You know, follow Him, not me, follow Him. I come to point the way to Him. You get to do that to Jesus by reading this passage and applying it to your life and calling others, all the y'all out there, to come to the one source of godly labor and godly rest. You have the Holy Spirit, and He does His work through you. In the meantime, you have a personal rest relationship with God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So you come up with these words, come and rest and labor and bring. All right, let's go through the passage again. I'll read it again, beginning in verse 28. Come to me. This time, think about what the parts of these, what types of sentences are these? What are they accomplishing? Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Okay, the first verse. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. There's a command. Y'all come. So the first little section there of chapter 28 is a command. Y'all come. But it's followed up right away with a promise. Command and then promise in verse 28. And I will give you rest. What a promise. All you have to do is come. Come, leave your weariness. You're being burdened, and come to me, and I will do something about it. I will give you rest. So command followed by a promise of rest. Verse 29, two commands. Y'all take my yoke upon you, and y'all learn from me. Two commands. And then not followed by a promise, but followed by a self-description. He starts talking about himself. He says, y'all come to me, you learn. But then he starts saying who he is. He says, I am gentle. So when you come to him, you don't expect him to be rough. He's God. He's the Creator. Nothing exists that wasn't created through Him. He has all power. He is the Almighty, King of kings and Lord of lords. And y'all, everybody, y'all are invited to come to Him, and you might expect Him to be high and lifted up. He is high and lifted up, but He also stoops down to be with the lowly. He became one of us. He still is one of us, the God-man. And when you come to the Creator of the universe, the Word of God, through whom the world was created, you won't find Him to be rough. He says, when you come, don't expect me to be rough with you. I'm gentle. Jesus is gentle. And don't expect Him to be proud. Don't expect Him to look down upon you when you come with all your sins, with all your filth. Joshua the high priest, covered with human excrement filth on his festal, on his robes. He says, I can take care of that. Don't worry about it. This is why I died. I will take off that filth. The filth was thrown on me. And you will be given festal robes. You will be given robes of righteousness that I purchased for you. So when you come, let me tell you who I am, he says in the second part of verse 29. I'm gentle. I'm not rough. I'm not mean. I'm not like your boss, maybe. I'm God, and I love you. I'm gentle, and I am humble. And then there's a promise. And you will find rest for your souls. Wonderful promise. So the first verse is a command and a promise. The second verse is a command and a command. And then a self-description. And then a promise. And you end up with two self-descriptions at the end. About his yoke. His yoke is easy, and his burden is light. So from his self-descriptions, what do we find? Well, they flow from Christ's character. He is the great I am. He is the foundation of all being. He is the Savior. He is the God-man. And all of that translates into the invitation that he is gentle and he is humble in heart. Self-descriptions, they derive from his character. The commands, they derive from Christ's prerogative because he is the King of Kings. And when he tells us to do something, we need to do it. When he says come, we need to come. When he says go, we need to go. When he says repent, we need to repent. That's his prerogative. He's gentle and he's kind, but he also is in charge. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the promises, where do the promises come from? They derive from his heart. He mentions his heart. He speaks about his heart. He is the Good Shepherd. So we concentrate on his heart as he gathers his lambs, as he grows his family, as he grows his body, as he builds his temple, as he builds his house, as he builds his dwelling, as he plants and tends roses on his hill. So here are the 3 points. Number one, the need is overwhelming. Number two, the invitations have been printed. And number three, the drawing room is open. The need is overwhelming. You know that. I could probably pick any one of you out, and if you would come up here and talk, you could tell us about the need of the world for a Savior. Y'all all know that. You know it because of your own hearts. You know it because of your own pressures. You know it because of the sadnesses that are in your family and in your own being and in this city and in this world. You know that. There is a need for a godly rest. And for godly labor. We were created for both. We are weary. We can be weary. We can be heavy laden. But we were created for freedom, not bondage. We are not to be bound by sin. We're not to be bound by Satan. We are to be set free. Adam and Eve were free. And we were created to be free. And there is a way to be free. And it's responding to this call to the Savior, this invitation to come to him. And so we need godly rest from this world, from the weariness of this world. But we also need godly labor, both of those things. And we need a Christ-like example of selfless humility that's there in heaven at the right hand of God, as opposed to the selfish pride of hell that is around us. And we all have need for soul care, as it describes here. Rest for your souls. Do you know the history of the world in 3 easy words? You probably do. Creation, fall, and redemption. 3 words. World history. There it is. All of it. The Garden of Eden was the history of go. Go. Leave. The fall has taken place. You can't be in the presence of a holy God. leave, and the cherubim will be put there with a flashing sword, and you may not come back until this rebellion against God is paid for you. It's go, get out of here. It's not the come of this passage. It is go, stay away from God until you can find a way to come back, until a way is provided for you to come back into God. So the history, Garden of Eden is a history of go. But the Garden of Gethsemane and the call of Calvary and the witness of the empty tomb and the goal of the good news is come. So as you go through world history, creation, fall, redemption, at first, after Adam and Eve, it's go, stay away. You are not worthy. You have fallen. You have rebelled. And you have to, either you or somebody else for you, you have to suffer the consequences. But now the one who has come, who has suffered the consequences, and he's gone into the Garden of Gethsemane, and then he's gone to the cross, and then he's gone, he suffered hell on the cross, he has taken your punishment on the cross, and he has broken the back of hell and sin and death. And so now you sing joy to the world, and the blessings flow as far as the curse is found, which is everywhere in the world, especially when we turn and come to the Savior. So now we live in the history of come, not in the history of go. Come, there's this wonderful word in the Old Testament that means to turn or return or repent. And really, ever since the Garden of Eden, it's been that word. It's been that word, to turn, to return, to come back. And Jesus is saying this here, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, you're weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The need is overwhelming, and you know the need. And the invitations, secondly, have been printed. You're part of the invitations, those of you who belong to Jesus Christ. Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Do you not know? Sort of reminds you of Isaiah 40. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Do you not know that you are a temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? You got two places in 1 Corinthians talking about that. One is for each one of us individually in Jesus, and the other one is the body of Christ here. You are the invitations. You've got this invitation. This invitation is printed on your heart in gold. You know this. You can go say this to anybody and say, come. Not to me, but let me tell you about somebody who said, come to me. And who may you give this invitation to? All y'all. Everybody. Absolutely non-exclusive. Exclusive way of salvation. Absolutely inclusive way of salvation. One Jesus, arms wide open. The need is overwhelming. The invitations have been printed. And the drawing room is open. Now, I recognize that that if you live in a mansion and you have a drawing room, the drawing room really was originally called a withdrawing room. And we just ended up with the word drawing room after a while. And the idea was to withdraw, to have a conversation. But I think that's good. Jesus draws. He draws people from all around the world. He's drawing people in China right now. He's drawing people in Denmark right now. He draws from all around the world. But what does he do when he draws? Our second son was down here in Columbia when Billy Graham preached in the Williams-Brice Stadium, and we were way up in the nosebleed area, and we had four children, and I said, if anybody wants to go down front, in other words, if you want to be drawn down front to profess Jesus, let's do it on the first verse of Just As I Am. Let's get started. Well, it was about the last, end of the next to the last verse. We had to start going down and down and down and down to get down to ground zero down there to profess faith in Jesus. But when our son Robinson got down there, there was an individual counselor there from the Hatch family there to share the gospel. So you're drawn, but once you're drawn, it's sort of like you're taken into a drawing room. And Jesus sits down with you alone and listens to your burdens. He listens to how sin has bound you. He listens to your hopelessness. He looks at your filth. And he's not surprised, and he's not proud. He's humble, and he's not rough because you've got such a terrible record. He knows your record. He was there when you sinned those ways. He's gentle. And he listens, and when you bring somebody, you pray with them, and you share the word of God, and you personally present the gospel. Jesus came to draw. He attracts like a magnet attracts, like a tractor pulls. You know, the word tractor comes from a really good Latin word that means to pull, because a tractor, you stick something in the ground, you pull it along, and it plows it up, or it digs deep, or it turns it over, according to what implement you use. You know, detract means to pull down from, extract means to pull out of, contract means to pull together, attract means to pull toward. Jesus attracts, because he's got the answers that nobody else has. Jesus draws. John 12, and I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to me. And the Holy Spirit draws, and you draw. The end of Matthew A, I would say, ends here, conceptually. And it says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. So I say this to you as Rose Hill and those who are in Jesus Christ, whether you belong to this church or some other a group of believers. Come. And then at the end of Matthew B, you know what it says? Go. Now I realize the command is make disciples, but it's still a matter of going and doing those other things, teaching and baptizing. And so you draw near yourself, and you're amazed at the grace that is accorded you, at the meekness and gentleness and humility of the judge of all the earth. Draw near to God, James says, and he will draw near to you. Hebrews 10, let us draw near with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Hebrews 7, those who draw, he is able also to save forever those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Hebrews 4, sort of backing up through Hebrews. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. This is a drawing room, this room. And so is your dining room. So is your kitchen. That's the way it functions in our house, more than the drawing room. We do our talking in the kitchen. I don't know where you have your drawing room. So is the park. That's the drawing room. So is the nursery here. So are the front porches where you sing carols and when you go to visit. And so will be those places at the hospital and the funeral home when you have the opportunities to go there and take Jesus and the love of Jesus. Drawing room. Not specifically or primarily drawing people to Rose Hill PCA Church, although that's a great idea. But that's not the point, and that's not what this passage is. It's drawing near to Jesus. And it may be here, or it may be First Pres, or it may be any number of other places or Bible studies. But it's Jesus. Jesus is saying, come unto me, all who labor and are heavy laden, are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you peace. This is Beulah Land. Vanity Fairs all around. There are people that will pull you right and left in the slough of despond, and even Moses will beat you up along the way, and there are all sorts of problems going through the valley of the shadow of death at the end. But this is Beulah land. From this place, you can see the celestial city. Because Jesus dwells here. Not because of windows and roof and pulpit. It's because of the spirits. It's because of your souls. Because you find rest for your souls here. And the rest you know from Jesus here is something the world, all y'all out there need. Everybody needs. And they know it. They may not admit it. They may prefer to cuss you out about it. But they know they need an answer. And praise God, you know him. He's your best friend. Here, people blinded by sin can meet the great I Am, the King of Kings, and the Good Shepherd. Here they can rejoice to live out the purpose for their lives, for their creation, for God's glory, and not for their own selfishness. Here they can join the Lord's army. Here they can be sheltered and fed and led by the shepherd. It is a labrie. It is a greenhouse of roses on a hill. It exudes the fragrance of the rose of Sharon. In a world of confusion and purposelessness and loneliness and fear, this is Beulah land, from which vantage point on Rose Hill one can see the celestial city. Hark, 'tis the shepherd's voice I hear. I guess this is the poem, 3 points in the poem. Hadn't really thought of it that way. It's a hymn. Hark, 'tis the shepherd's voice I hear out in the desert, dark and drear, calling the sheep who've gone astray, far from the shepherd's fold, away. Bring them in, bring them in, bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring them in, bring them in, bring the wandering ones to Jesus. Who will go and help the shepherd kind bring the wandering ones to Jesus? Who will bring the lost ones to the fold where they'll be sheltered from the cold? Bring them in, bring them in. Jesus draws, you draw, the Holy Spirit carries out his work in you. Because of Jesus, you become attractive, so that just as you came, others will come. I praise the Lord for Brooks and Clara and Mary Ruth and Ezekiel being part of the body of Christ here, and then Brooks now leaving this body of Christ and becoming part of a presbytery. However that works out. But this is a signpost to Jesus. You are attracted because of the Holy Spirit to pull you, to draw you to the one who stands and says, come, I will give you rest. Let's pray. Father, we praise you for this gospel. We praise you for the founding of this church more than 90 years ago. 95 years ago, we pray that you would bless the ministry here, and we pray that what we do this afternoon, setting aside, ordaining a man for a special work as being assistant pastor here, we pray that this would aid in this, and that you would draw through him and through the body of Christ here, and through this presbytery, and through the Christians in this area, to Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen.